This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, it's another warm welcome, and in fact, it's a happy new year to Kerry Dixon and all of our listeners to the Kerry Dixon Show, which of course is in association with ChelseaFan12.com, the home of the 12th man, the fan. And don't forget to check them out, because they're very kind in sponsoring this show, me and Kerry. But they've got loads of memorabilia, news, videos, all sorts of stuff. They record a video with Chopper Harris and Gary Chivers at the Butcher's Hook after every home game, which is well worth a look. Very entertaining and trenchant views on there. And, of course, you can follow them on Twitter, at Fan12Chelsea. So it's been a while, Kerry, but happy new year to you, mate. How are you?
Yes, happy new year to you as well, Dave. I'm fine, thank you. It's to be honest, it was a quiet one for me, and it's not a bad thing. But it was fine. Enjoyed some of the games, and haven't enjoyed some of the other games as normal, pretty much, in terms of what Chelsea are doing. I think we're still looking to find our feet at the top of the tree. But some of the games have been quite entertaining. The Arsenal away game tour was an excellent game, I thought. But some of the others leave a little bit to be desired.
Well, 'twas ever thus, Kerry, up and down with Chelsea, or as Marco, our great mate Marco, says, glorious unpredictability, which about sums it all up, I think. But, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of matches, and of course, thanks to Christmas and New Year, you and I haven't been on the air. And, of course, those that listen to this show also tend to listen to the Chelsea Fancast, and I went down with the flu last week, so we haven't done a show on that since before Christmas. So we've got lots to talk about, but what I'm going to do, mate, is I'm going to focus in on the Norwich FA Cup match last weekend, the Arsenal Carabao Cup semi-final on Wednesday, and then we're going to have a quick look forward to the match against Leicester coming up tomorrow, this Saturday. So, looking at the Norwich game first, I mean, you know, a Championship side, we should really expect to put them away. So, you know, I think it was disappointing not just to draw against them, but to draw 0-0. And then, of course, we've got a replay to come. I think it's next Wednesday, isn't it? Next Wednesday.
Yeah,
I mean, considering the number of games we've got at the moment, you know, from a player point of view, fatigue point of view, but also from a fan fatigue point of view, and having to dip our hands in our pockets is probably the last thing we all wanted. But you know, what did you think of the game generally? I mean, we rested a lot of players, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know me, and nothing changes in that respect as regards. You were right first time. Championship side away should beat them. Bearing in mind the squad we have, I am being honest. I'm starting to doubt the depth of our squad in terms of the ability to beat sides. When we do rotate players, you look at, you know, City, and they seem to get it just just about right. I mean, they had a little goal with Bristol City. But Norwich away, fair play to Norwich, they had a go. And, you know, teams aren't going to roll over, lie down, and, you know, let the bigger clubs come over and win 3, 4, 5. And, you know, Norwich had a bit of a go in terms of digging in, as you'd expect, and trying not to concede. And to be honest, I thought we were poor. I thought we were generally apathetic, so it's not bad about resting players. I thought the lads that went out there, I'm afraid, didn't perform on the day. They huffed and puffed, but were far from blowing the house down, you know, as the rhyme goes. But and I thought there's a huge room for improvement in terms of the players that were rotating or squad players that come in and play.
Yeah, and that was, I think, in essence, the disappointment of it. I mean, you know, one thing occurred to me. I mean, number one, you know, he rested 7 players, and in some respects, you can see that the 7 players that he rested are the players that he considers to be the best players, you know. And I kind of wonder what message...
Which is arguable, you know, which is arguable who's the best players. I mean, you put the question out to Chelsea fans and who's our best team, and you know, I'm not so sure that too many would come up with a similar side. I think there'd probably be about 6 maybe that would be in most people's team, but there's about 5 or maybe even more that could be changed and not affect the side.
Well, I think that's an equally good point, mate. But I think in terms of the message that he might have been sending out, let's just for argument's sake assume that the 7 that he left out, of course, he had Morata on the bench, but the 7 that he left out are the players that he considers that are the ones that he can rely on, are his best players. I'm just kind of wondering what message that sends out to the ones that did play. Well, you're not my best players, in a sense. And so that's the first part of the question. The second part is, given the performance by some of them, which, you know, I can forgive Chelsea players for not having much talent or you know, just generally not being very good, but it does annoy me when I don't see a lot of commitment and effort, and I think that's what grated with a lot of supporters after the Norwich game. So it kind of begs the question to me is, you know, do you think players these days look at the FA Cup in a different way to the players of your generation?
Well, they shouldn't. I've said this many a time. I mean, there's been some thrilling games in the FA Cup, and, you know, the third round brings around what it brings around, the great draws, and, you know, and I've said it time and time again in terms of there's only 4 trophies to win each year, and everyone wants the big one, or whichever they class as the big one, the Premier League or indeed the Champions League or the big two, one of them. But the other 2 cups are equally important. As far as the fans are concerned, we're in them to win them. We turn up, pay the money, want to see a football match, you want to see your heroes go out and play, and as you've said, perform, put the effort in and hopefully get the result. This squad of Chelsea's is extremely well paid, and it doesn't mean to say just because they're well paid that they have to perform and they can perform and they're necessarily good enough. It's all about judgment. But they're still well paid, and you look at the Norwich side, and you know there's not one player would get in the Chelsea squad. I don't see Chelsea going in for a squad player at Norwich. You know, we should be rolling these teams over with no matter what teams we put out. All them players that are put out there are in our squad. In terms of their approach to the FA Cup, and in terms of their approach to the League Cup and so on, that is totally down to the player. They've got to get themselves up for the game, no matter what reason they can. If they're selected to put the shirt on, they've got to go out there, and if they're a midfield player, got to perform in terms of creativity, or a defensive midfield player, and add their bit. And the same goes for the forwards. You've got to look to score a goal, create a goal, or do whatever you need to do. And defensively, you know, I'm not going to go for every position what's expected, but they know what's expected of them, and you know, collectively they're expected to come out with a result that, you know, progresses the club into the next round of these competitions, and hopefully they'll get the job done on Wednesday in terms of Norwich, and they've got a difficult one at Arsenal, but I still think that tie's pretty much open. I don't think that's a close shop just yet, but nevertheless it's going to be more difficult away, and these cup competitions, the fans love it. They love the opportunity to go to Wembley. They, you know, they're sold out these games, you know, and you know, we want to win. I'm sure the club want to win, I'm sure the players want to win. But you asked me the question, is the approach to the FA Cup and the League Cup that much different? Well, I'm saying it damn well shouldn't be.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, that's for sure. I mean, the other thing that occurred to me, Kerry, was that because he rested so many of the technically first team players, he you know, apart from Morata on the bench, everybody else was one of the younger youth players. And it kind of occurred to me, I wonder, you know, given that they're probably desperate to break through to the side and they really do have a lot of hunger, desire and something to prove, might it have been better to have had a lot more of them actually in the starting 11 and had some of the more experienced players on the bench to bail us out of trouble if needed? I mean, the reason I say that is I thought that Musonda, in the very brief 10 minutes that he had, kind of ran around more energetically than most of the rest of the team did in the preceding 80.
Yeah, well, the younger players would obviously have something more to prove in terms of what they're trying to achieve. The older players, I imagine, are not only trying to win the game, but, you know, they're trying to show the manager still what they can do and try and push for a more regular starting place. You know, they put David Luiz in. He didn't do an awful lot wrong, as far as I'm concerned. You know, who's to say, oh, I went back on, which is a better side, who's to say he's that much worse or better than, if indeed he is, than any of the other four players, you know, Rudiger, Azpilicueta, Christensen, Kale. You know, I think you should rotate any three from five there and it wouldn't be a whole heap of difference. You know, everyone would have their own, you know, their own three. You know, you play for whatever reason you play for. Younger players, you know, and any substitute coming on into a game which is pretty dire and runs around, shows energy and goes softly, he's just going to stand out a little bit because he's going to be a little bit different to what we were seeing for the period of time before they come on. So I don't know, you know, playing younger people, if they played younger people and got hammered, look at Arsenal at Forest, everyone would be moaning about that, the team he put out, he picked it wrong. You know, I don't think you can win in these situations as regards what people think. I think you've got to pick a team to win the game. That's the art of management. That's certainly what the management. And, you know, you pick a team to win the game. I mean, Arsenal was getting hammered for the team. He picked it, Chelsea. And yet, afterwards, everyone's saying, you can't believe it. Like, they think they're going to the final. You know, would he put in the United versus Sanchez and so on? You know, apart from transfer window, you just don't know what he'll be doing in the next game. But who knows? It's how you approach it. It's all about winning the game. And the aftermath and the fallout of it all is whether you win or lose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. I, you know what? I think there's a lot of sense to that point. You know, in many respects, you can't win. And of course, if we'd have won, nobody would be talking about it now, would they? But we are talking about it because we've got to play them again next Wednesday, as we're saying, which I think in a way we could have done without. But, you know, we should have no problems there, surely. I mean, I would imagine, again, he's going to pick a fairly, you know, below strength team in a sense, or he's going to rotate it at the least. But you envisage another win. I mean, what it reminds me actually, Kerry, of a few years ago in 2002 when we drew 0-0 at Carrow Road and we got him back. And of course, that was the game that Franco Zola scored that amazing back-heeled kind of volley from the corner. So more of that, please. I'd fancy a bit of that.
Who do you think you produced that this time? Could only be one person if that was even thought about.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Well, it'll be interesting to see if he plays, won't it, of course?
Yes, it will. I don't know what team he put out. I mean, he's expected to win at home. I think it does turn it round slightly. And I do think that, like you, I think he'll pick a side that he thinks will win the game. And I believe that he picked a side that thinks will win the game previously. Let's just hope they do it this time, you know?
Yeah.
And, because as far as I'm concerned, next round home to Newcastle, who's to say we can't go all the way in the FA Cup, and there's still a certain, a trip to Arsenal as well in the very near future, with a definite trip to Wembley for the winners of that particular one.
Well, indeed, and I think it would be nice to get back to Wembley for the FA Cup final this year, having lost to Arsenal last year. And, of course, they're not in the FA Cup, having been knocked out roundly by Forest, which was, I thought, a very impressive performance by them. But, of course, we've got Arsenal in the semi-final of the Carabao Cup, as you mentioned a minute ago, and we had them at the Bridge on Wednesday. And we followed up the 0-0 draw against Norwich with a 0-0 draw against them. Although I think this was a very different match for many reasons, Kerry. I mean, not least because, again, I think he put out a strong Chelsea team. But I thought what was interesting was the way that we failed to break Arsenal down, very much in the way that we failed to break them down in the league when they played in September. And it, you know, Conte surprisingly has a pretty poor record against Arsenal. He's only won once, which was last season's home league game, 3-1. But we tend to draw against them an awful lot. And you won't like me for saying this, I suspect. But what occurred to me was I wonder if Wenger had outthought Conte again. Either that, or they gave a passable impersonation of a Sam Allardyce Bolton side. You decide.
No, I mean, there's no way in a million years you'd be making a comparison of Arsene Wenger and Sam Allardyce. You know, he's not one of them. He's not one of them that beats it. And I mean, more often than not, he gets complained for it. Complaints for playing football. You know, trying to play. And I still think the Arsenal teams try to play. But I think the players themselves, they develop this digging mentality. And realise that they've got to fight, and I think there was an awful lot of fight and desire from the Arsenal players the other night, and they showed a willingness. And I think, you know, it's always dangerous to play a side on the back of a humiliating defeat, which they had at Nottingham Forest. And you know, we played them a little bit on the rebound, whereby that little bit of determination and extra was pulled out by everyone in an Arsenal shirt, and I think it would have been. No matter what team here to put out, you know, because their supporters who are frustrated, as it is, we all know, would be even more frustrated going out of two cup competitions in the space of a week. So, you know, I fully expected a digging performance or a performance that would keep them in the tide by the time we go back to the Emirates. But I thought we have to pass again. And I think this is becoming a big thing with us. If we don't get that early goal, we've said it loads of times, teams become more and more resilient. We become a little bit more desperate. And I think we struggle to break them down. And you know, Eden Hazard, I always say, or a Cesc Fabregas pass, doesn't quite work. I think we struggle generally to break teams down. And you know, and I think that, you know, when you say has someone outthought someone, it's not a question of a manager outthinking someone. I think if them two players Fabregas can't find the pass, or Eden Hazard is not a going day, or he's on a going day, but things just don't work for him. I really don't think that there's anyone in the team that can consistently. I think there's players that can do it on a one-off, but I think consistently unlock defences, and I think we've got a problem here. I really do. I'm sticking to my guns, you know, in terms of Morata. We had Acosta. You know, I watched the thing whereby they the pundits in some television programme drew a comparison in the first so many games of Diego Costa, Didier Drogba and Morata. And, you know, Morata come out on top in terms of assists and goals. I think you can dress it up how you want it. The first 18 months of Didier Drogba, I mean, no disrespect to one of our greatest ever players, in my opinion, but he spent 18 months rolling around the ground. And, you know, it wasn't his best performance. It wasn't his best time, you know? Diego Costa, you know, he managed to get to 70 goals. They were talking about fifth quickest time in Premier League history or something. You know, that was one thing that was coming out at the time when he did that. I didn't necessarily go on about that stat, but to put Morata in terms of what he's doing at the moment above the likes of Costa and Drogba is a million miles away as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, he's not one of them. And I say it because I was talking about breaking teams down. How many times did we get 1-0 away, 1-0 at home, when the likes of Hazard or Fabregas wasn't playing? And it was Diego Costa who snapped up a half chance, so we didn't play so well, and we got all 3 points. That was the year we won the league. You know, it's not happening there. I don't think we've got that in the armoury at the moment. And I know people will point to certain games whereby Morata's done this and Morata's done that, but I'm sticking to my guns. He's not quite there yet.
Kerry, I've got to say, and you know, people who've listened to this show long enough will know that I don't sit here blithely agreeing with everything you say. You and I will have a ding-dong when necessary, but I do agree with everything that you say. I think in particular the point you make about Hazard and Fabregas, and we are definitely struggling to break teams down. And I mean, I think what was, I'd be really interested to hear what you think about this, because I don't think it's just down to the fact that, you know, sure, you know, you can stick men on Hazard and you can stick men on Fabregas and stop the supply, and I get that, which means that you should be able to get some joy out of people like Moses and Alonso, but if Moses can't beat a man or get a ball into the box, then that's not going to help. I wonder about the distance between what is effectively a single striker and Morata and the midfield players coming through, and I don't think that helps. And I actually think against Arsenal, one thing I did notice a lot, actually, I thought, you know, to be fair, I think Arsenal did come for a draw. They were hoping they might nick something, but basically they were happy with a 0-0. And I think that they played very well defensively. They were really organised. And the number of times a ball came into Morata and the two of their defenders were on him instantly, and particularly that ball from Azpilicueta, where he likes to cut it, you know, cross it in from the right.
Yeah.
Every time he did that, you know, they got to the ball first. So they were looking for that. So I thought that they defended really, really well against us. But I think the point that you're making, Kerry, is that this happens a lot. It's not just against that Arsenal match. And I wonder how we're going to change that, because either we need to play more creative midfielders who are you know, leaving less of a gap between the midfield and the striker, or maybe playing two strikers, which would be great if we had another striker that was reliable to partner Morata, which I don't think we do. So I think we've got a bit of a problem.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there, and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Yes, exactly right. I mean, talk about an agreeable show. If you're not agreeing with me and you are on this particular issue, it appears, I'm totally agreeing with you. You know, there isn't... One time we were saying, we've got Plan B, it's there. It was used at Huddersfield, whereby the Pedro Hazard-Williams situation. We used it, I think, the game afterwards, and it didn't work. You know, what is Plan B? What is Plan A? You know, I don't go along with all these plans. I don't necessarily go along with strategies. I think you have to have a general work ethic, and if you play well and you do your job defensively, you know, you'll get a good defensive performance from anyone. But in terms of creativity, which is the hardest thing in the game, in my opinion, you know, the game's about scoring more goals than the opposition and then creating more chances and so on. Chances don't mean nothing if you keep missing them. Goals is what it's all about. And, you know, Chelsea have to score a goal. And we are struggling with Plan B. You know, time and time it comes on again, and it just, occasionally it's the impact. You know, William, come on, he looks lively. Batshuayi comes on, and I think we've got a big problem there because, you know, obviously something's amiss there. You know, he's either confident shot to pieces or he realises he's a bit part player. We're not going to get the best out of him. And I do believe it's possibly right to either change him or you know, move him on or get someone else in that department, because the manager, you know, everyone loves Conte, but I think in Batshuayi's situation, I think the bloke shot the bits. So, you know, it's not really worth it. In terms of, I remember going back in argument and creativity, and you said about midfield creative players, get one in. There was an argument last year between me and you. You said the team are struggling because of Kante. You know, that's why we're getting beaten. Now, he's been back in the side on a regular basis, and we've still got the same old problem of breaking teams down. The thing is about goals, and it's about creativity, and it's left to Hazard, stroke Fabregas, time and time again. If we don't get an early goal in the game, teams grow more resilient and we struggle with it. And, you know, this is a big problem we have. And the reason Manchester City are away and up at the top of the league is there's so many players within their team who can chip in with that all-important bit of creativity or goal that can get them out of trouble rather than just two.
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, I agree with that. But, you know, going back to what you mentioned when Willian came on, and I'm wondering whether it... Because Willian, of course, came on for Drinkwater, so that meant you took off one of the two defensive midfield players.
And but there's been a lot of
Well,
I think that's a
fair point. He's not a midfielding player. A midfield player who's going to just sit and hold. I accept that, but I just thought that when you swap Willian for Drinkwater, you know, we had more impetus. And what I like about Willian is, in a sense, he's a player like Hazard in the fact that he'll pick up the ball and he'll run at people. And that causes defences problems because either they've got to do a really good tackle or they're going to foul him or he's going to beat them. So, you know, for me, that works. And I'm just wondering whether it'd be worth kind of partnering Willian and Hazard together, kind of behind Morata, and that gives us a bit more options. But, you know, to do that, he's going to have to play one less in midfield. So he's going to have to change this 3-5-2. Now, I'm not Conte. I'm not a bloody manager, and I'm certainly not paid what he is to make those decisions. But I just wonder if that might help, you know.
Well, you don't know what will help. It is an option, I suppose. It's looking how the team will adjust to getting the result with that situation in mind. Who would do what in other areas? If that's plan B, then so be it. Listen, let's face it. We're a side that's not far off the top. It's because of Manchester City's pace and what they're doing. And, you know, we're in a semi-final of one competition. We're pretty well based in the FA Cup. We've got Norwich. Then stroke arguably Newcastle at home. So, you know, we're not in a bad place. Barcelona is getting closer, which I said before that we need to improve to, you know, get past that hurdle. And I still think that is going to be the case. But I don't think Barcelona has set out to dig in. I think they'll play the Barcelona way. But at the moment, I still think that they might have too much for us unless we have two extremely good going days, and which is possible. But... I think we need to improve a fair bit, you know, to get over that hurdle at the moment. But I'm not saying that's impossible.
Totally agree. I don't think we're far short. I think you're right. I mean, we need to improve going forward and creatively. But I think what we're omitting to say at the moment, which we should mention, is how well we're doing defensively at the moment. And I think they looked... I mean, Arsenal hardly had a chance on Wednesday. I mean, the one... clear-cut chance they had, I think, Iwobi elected to back pass it to Courtois rather than having a shot. But the defences look really, really solid. So that gives me a lot of hope because it seems that, you know, it's nice and settled as well, which I like, and I think they're playing very, very well. So really, we just need to kind of improve the creativity. Now, you know, one thing that might do that, and of course this is pertinent with Leicester coming up on Saturday, is that we've already made one signing in the transfer window, and it's Ross Barkley, of course, who... You know, another player in the kind of the Hazard and the Willian mould, a guy who likes to pick it up in midfield, run with the ball, beat players and crack a shot off. Now, we don't know if he's going to be involved on Saturday yet. I mean, Conte was saying it was too soon for the Arsenal match, but you never know. I mean, what do you think of the signing of Ross Barkley? I mean, clearly the kid's got a lot of talent, hasn't he?
Yes, and I think he's a good signing. It's interesting the ovation that he actually got for signing. I think people at Chelsea recognise he's a young up-and-coming player, a young up-and-coming Englishman, and, you know, and I think he's capable, Ross Barkley. I think what I've seen of him on a going day when he's clear of injuries and so on, I think it's very positive, and I think it's a good signing. It just goes to show, or it's just a little niggling thing for me in the back of my mind, is that he's a £15 million signing. You shouldn't look at that, because we've got, you know, £30 million signings who don't get a game. Is, you know, is he going to play him on a regular basis? Is he going to force his way in? He signed for the club. I don't blame Barkley for that, because he's going to be playing regularly in the Champions League and so on. He's with a big club. He's going to be playing in Europe and, you know, and competing for the trophies every year rather than where he was. But his next job is to get in the side and make an impact and produce what he was doing that made him nearly an England regular, but certainly, you know, some of his performances have warranted an England cap. And, you know, I think he's a plus for us. It will send out a message to our other youngsters. You mentioned Charlie Musonda and some of the others. And, you know, you look at various midfield players, the Loftus-Cheeks was out on loan, and other youngsters looking to break in. You've now got another body looking to break in the side. So there's all sorts of messages here, but Ross Barkley for me is a positive, and I hope he's given a chance. And I'm talking about a regular chance, not a Danny Drinkwater opportunity coming in now and then. You know, I've had a good look from what I've seen so far of Bakayoko, and I'm not totally convinced on that one either. I think there's huge room for improvement there. I really do. We sold Matic and got Bakayoko. That was a decision somewhere made in the club. Well, given the choice, all right, you're getting a younger, arguably more mobile player, but I don't know if we've improved the side at all. That's just my opinion. And Ross Barkley, for me, would give us improvement in an area where we desperately need it, creativity.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I saw him play when he was, if you like, breaking into the England side, and he's the kind of player that supporters like. You know, he, as I said, he picks the ball up from midfield, he runs at people, he beats them, and he's not scared to shoot. I mean, what's not to like about that? So I certainly wish him all the best, and it'll be really interesting to see, you know, how soon he does get picked, and interestingly, I think also for whom. Or, you know, who he might replace in that side at the moment. As far as Bakayoko is concerned, I think that's a very interesting one. I think he's young and there is potential there. But I think the point is, if I can understand why they bought him after they sold Matic, because he's a lot younger, so there's, you know, we hopefully have a few years of him. But on the other hand, if he's young and he's not quite good enough yet, were there not players that are breaking through from the youth side who could have been put
correct
in that position? You know, and I
that's
think
exactly
that, that's... Yeah, you know, that's the interesting
exactly the
issue,
point,
isn't
yeah
it? You know, I mean, we say Loftus-Cheek, for example.
I mean, Bakayoko's come in and Loftus-Cheek's gone out on loan. You know, we've got an England player going out on loan to Palace who could do exactly the same bit of improvement on the side. Well, we've got a player being brought in who's meant to be a replacement from, you know...
Or Chiloba, of course, who we sold, you know, who
Chalobah,
got fed up with
Troy.
Yeah, you know, so there were and there were plenty of other players who were coming up from the youth ranks who could have perhaps been given that role and the latitude, in fact, that Bakayoko's been given. Anyway, we should move on, because we've got Leicester on Saturday. Actually, before we do move on, because it is the transfer window at the moment, and of course, I find it interesting that we've got Leicester, because of course they've got Jamie Vardy, who I'm amazed that we've never been linked with, considering we bought two other decent Leicester players in the recent past. I mean, we clearly need some sort of a striker, I think, in this transfer window. I agree with you about Batshuayi. I don't see him really improving this season, and that leaves us with one striker, which is not going to be enough, particularly if Morata's a bit short of confidence, which he clearly is at the moment. But Vardy has not been mentioned at all in dispatches, and yet Andy Carroll has, which does surprise me somewhat. But I'd be curious as to what you think of Carroll as a striker and whether that might be a good move for us.
No, I think Jamie Vardy's an excellent player.
Yeah, but what about Carroll? Because we've been linked with Andy Carroll, not Vardy.
I think Vardy's an excellent player and he'll give us something different. Andy Carroll would give us something different, but I don't know. I don't think Andy Carroll would be the answer. You know, someone who's in and out of West Ham's side, he does give you something, you know, an aerial threat, and he is an aerial threat, and he could come on and change games and bustle up opponents. He's done it to us before, and he'll do it the rest of his career, I dare say. But I don't think Andy Carroll, in terms of beating the Barcelonas and the improvement we're looking for, is going to be the answer. I really don't. I think Jamie Vardy could give you a lot more. You know, you talk about a different dimension. Well, I'd certainly have a little pop at that one if that ever become an issue. Although his age and all the, you know, everyone would say this, that, and whatever. I'm just talking about what would come, what would he'd bring to the table right now. And, you know, if you look at Andy Carroll, whether it be long-term or short-term or whatever, I think Jamie Vardy would bring a lot more to the table. You might say, well, he'd cost a lot more and so on. But there's all sorts of arguments. But given the choice, Andy Carroll, I'd say no. Jamie Vardy, I'd say yes.
Yeah, I mean, mate, I'd have Vardy in like a shot. I really, really would. And I think he'd suit our play a lot better, because considering we like to play on the counter-attack a lot, I mean, he's got pace to burn.
You spoke earlier, Dave, sorry to interrupt. So you spoke earlier about a possibility of plan B. You play two strikers, well, Morata and Vardy. Would you do that option?
Absolutely right. Totally agree with that. Because he's done that for England, of course, when he's played for England. He's also, you know, he could play for us in the Champions League. You know, I think he might be tempted because it gives him another crack at the Champions League. So I'm amazed that we've not put a cheeky bid in for him. Andy Carroll, I mean, I think he's one-dimensional. I think you're right. I mean, he's a good old-fashioned lump of a centre-forward, and he's bloody good in the air. But that's about all he can do, really. I mean, OK, he can score goals, and I get that, but he's got a terrible injury record, so I think that would be a real waste getting him. But there we go. No doubt we shall see. Now, listen, we ought to talk very quickly about what actually might happen against Leicester. Interesting side. I mean, they're a bit schizophrenic like we are to a certain degree. But nevertheless, they're still sitting in eighth position, so they are absolutely no mugs. And they've still got, you know, most of the squad that won them the title, including Mahrez and Vardy. This is going to be an interesting game, I think, Gary. I've got a suspicion that they're not going to park the bus. I don't think Claude Puel, their manager, does that. So I think it might be a little bit more open. So I'm therefore feeling a little bit more positive, you know, than we have sounded for the most of this show.
Yeah, you know, talking about positive, I mean, yeah, I think we should beat Leicester, you know, on Saturday. I think I really do. Having said that, they have got a threat. They've got a Mahrez. They have got a Vardy. And, you know, they won't, as you say, park the bus. It should be a decent game. But we should beat them. The difference is about Leicester in terms of schizophrenic, you said, is that the expectancy levels at Leicester are not the same as at Chelsea. You know, what they're expected to do, they're in eighth, and everyone at Leicester would think they're having a really good season so far, with their chances of possibly, you know, breaking in and maybe what they'll do. With us, we're having, what sort of season would you say? A 7 out of 10 and is it a slightly above average season with an expectancy, or people say, no, it's a good season. Well, the league's gone, as far as I'm concerned. You know, barring an absolute calamity, you know, we're now looking at a top four finish. And we're looking at a trophy. We've got Barcelona in the Champions League, which come February, unless we improve, could be all over. The two trophies that we've got, we really should take seriously, because we do need to take something. And certainly in both them particular games, you know, it's up in the air. Arsenal, Norwich and Newcastle, let's say all three games, if indeed we beat Norwich. So we have got to consolidate in the league at home against Leicester. I think we should win. They will pose a threat. And they're not bad defensively. So we will have to improve in our creativity to actually break them down. So beware of Leicester. I think we should win. I don't think it'll be easy. But I could fully see them turning us over if certain things were... If they were to put in a good defensive performance and they could score on a breakaway or with a free kick or a super Mahrez goal or a Vardy breakaway, be wary of Leicester. And I don't think this is one of these that you can say, yes, we will definitely win. I'm saying this is one of these we should win, but we need to improve on what I've seen against the likes of Norwich. And, you know, if we do, I think we should win. We've got enough all-round players in a better team generally. But just beware.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think, you know, if we're going to win, I think it'll be by the odd goal. I don't see us thumping them. I think that the early goal, as always, will be important. Because, as you said, I think the pattern that we've seen is the longer that it goes at the moment, the harder we find to break it down, the more galvanised the opposition gets. And, you know, that leaves us open for them hitting us on the break. be interesting to see if Barkley comes on and, you know, as a sub maybe in the last 10 minutes and gets the winner, Kerry. No doubt we'll see. Just to pick up on your point about what would be a good season, I think that was a really interesting thing you made. I mean, we've got a very, very important month, 6 weeks coming up, because if it goes pear-shaped, we'll be, you know, knocked out in the semi-final of the Carabao Cup. We might get knocked out of the FA Cup, and we might get knocked out of Europe. That would leave us just playing for a top four finish. I happen to think that, you know, second or third.
So on the back of that, what sort of season do we have it?
Well, I actually think it's too early to say, to be honest. I think so far it's not been a bad season. I think, you know, second in the league would be a good finish given how good City are. I think we need to get to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, a minimum. Otherwise, that's not a good run. I don't think we're good enough to win it, in all honesty. So quarterfinals is about par. I think you know, we need to win a cup or at least get to a final. So I don't mind if it's the league or the FA Cup, although obviously I'd prefer the FA Cup. So I think it's too early to really call it as to whether it's a good season or not. I think at the moment it's okay.
Okay, I agree with you. Okay, but room for improvement still.
Always room for improvement, Kerry. Always room for improvement. Apart from with us, because we're brilliant and perfect every week, mate. So there you go. All right, we should wrap it up. But obviously, best of luck. Presume you're going on Saturday?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, look, enjoy the game, mate. I'll be there as well. And you and I will be reporting back on not just the Leicester game from tomorrow, but we'll also be talking about the Cup replay against Norwich next Wednesday. So we'll have a packed show as always, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it already, mate. Been great to speak to you again. Been too long.
Thanks very much, Dave. And once again, Happy New Year to yourself and all the people that listen.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.